We're talking today about identity for AI agents and how we authorize agents, MCP servers, and the like. We launched a new product actually this week, so that made this presentation fun. Had a major release just a few days ago for several of these features and GAing these. Additionally, I should probably preface by saying a lot of this workshop material has been repurposed, and our architect, Abhishek, he goes by nickname Siam Shrek, kind of prepared a lot of this, and we've kind of massaged it into this presentation. So we're going to cover each of these in depth, some of the core features of this new release, whether it's Token Vault, Async Auth, and we're not going deep on FGA, but just know that there is another kind of sub-product, if you will, that's all around role-based access control. There's an open source project around fine-grained auth, which really extends this feature set, but that's really kind of another talk. So that's some of the things we'll be talking. Quick intros. It's my first time at AIE, so thank you guys. It's been an awesome week already. Learned so much. I'm from Raleigh, not actually a Shire, but this is a little bit about me. It's been great. I came over to Auth0 from Red Hat, and I've learned a lot about the identity space in the last 4 years. I'm going to roll over to Carlos.
Yeah. Hi. I'm Carlos. I'm co-host with Patrick for this workshop today. First time in New York, first time in the US. So great so far. Thank you for the welcoming. I'm based in Spain, in Mallorca. If you know the place, it's a beautiful island. I joined Auth0 and Okta a little bit more 2 years. Father of two. And, well, yeah, it's a little bit of about myself. So I want to start this with a vision that Okta and Auth0 share. This is to free everyone to safely use any technology. And the fun fact about this is a vision that precedes the AI agent era and still stands because at the end of the day is what we do. We deal with identity for past, present, and future technology. And yeah, just to give a little bit of what's the challenge. So I said that our vision is to free anyone to use any technology, but it doesn't mean that all the technologies are the same and all the technologies has the same challenges. It's obvious that agents bring new challenges, new threats. And just to illustrate, this is an updated list of the OWASP LLM top 10. So you can see new things that they didn't exist before. So yeah, obviously we need to solve new problems. So how we model or how we think about agents in Auth0. So we think, so far we've seen interactive agents, chatbots, code editors, but this is unlikely the future. We start to see other modalities where the agents doesn't run anymore in an interactive way. Task runners or autonomous agents is something that is very popular these days. But beyond that, we see a feature where fully autonomous agents can do things either on behalf of the users or maybe just because agents will start talk to other agents. So these are our four pillars that we believe we'll cover all these new modalities. The first one is AI needs to know who I am. So this is key. If the agent doesn't know who I am, it can never apply any security or any restriction or any authorization, authentication, because I'm just an anonymous source or actor in this, and this is important. The second is, obviously, the agents will be autonomous enough, but it doesn't mean that we'll be alone. It will be just doing things on its own. Eventually, they will need to access other services, to consume other resources. So AI needs to call APIs on my behalf as a user. But sooner or later, the agent will try to do something riskier or something that I don't think as a user the agent should do on its own without any supervision from my side. So AI can request my confirmation. And lastly, AI access should be fine-grained. So I need to give the agent control to access my resources, but not any resource, not any collection or document or anything. It's just, it has to be on my hands to what the agent can access and whatnot. And just to also introduce where Okta and Auth0 can play or complement each other. So we talked about a user, and it could be me, it could be you, but eventually it will be an employee within an enterprise or a company. And in this case, the employee is not only acting on his own behalf, he's also representing the company. And in those cases, the company needs also control on what exactly those agents that are acting on behalf of those employees are doing. So that's where Okta also plays a important part. And in the other end, Auth0 is what we, the capabilities and features that we've implemented, I think is where they connect. Yeah.
Just trying to understand, you said the agent needs to know who you are.
Yes.
Who you are as what? As the user, as the coder, as the one with the permissions?
Is the subject of the operation that you are doing.
Yeah.
It could be anything. It could be you as an employee. It could be you as an owner or something, as an administrator or something. But at the end, it's a person, a human.
Yeah.
In the scenario I was talking about.
Yeah. Is this what permission the agent have access to, or who has access to the agent's capabilities? I don't understand.
Both. Yeah.
What does the who refers to here?
We are definitely touching on both. So, okay. Yes, let's. Yes, and time for questions at the end, absolutely. Let's make sure. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, so let's get deep on exactly what we are going to present today. We talk about four pillars. Not in a particular order, but I'm going to introduce one of the three, which is how we made possible one of the three, which is AI can request my approval. For that, we implemented async auth as part of the auth for AI agents offering. And basically, this feature, what it does is creates a mechanism and a protocol for the agent to reach out the user when an operation needs to be approved by the human in this flow. It seems simple. It is, in essence, but well, it's security. But it's built on top of client-initiated authentication. Client-initiated back-channel authentication protocol. Mm-hmm. It's an RTC specification.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, so in this scenario, it's the agent that is initiating the authentication and authorization. So the agent is running, maybe it could be a long-run autonomous thing, and at some point needs to make a purchase or make something that is flagged as risk. So with async auth and with a simple SDK code, it can initiate an authorization request that materializes as a notification to the user. The user receives the details of that transaction, well structured. The user acknowledges that, approves that, and then that approval gets back to the agent in form of an access token. And that access token contains the exact details that the user approved. And yeah, I'm gonna hand over to Patrick for this one.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you, Carlos. And yeah, good question. Thank you for the questions. The token vault is the other kind of like, you know, major feature we're introducing with this AI, more AI targeted Osseo release. Token Vault is a new mechanism for persisting your upstream refresh tokens. And you may have used Osseo before, right? For social providers or in tangent with like other identity providers. This makes use cases with agents much, much easier. So we have a really fine-grained now flow, which allows you to exchange tokens. So on behalf of users, so I can, you know, I can send my access token or my application's refresh token, whether it's for an API, whether it's for my application, and I can then request scopes for an upstream, service. So whether that's accessing Slack API or Facebook API or any other identity, scoped API. And we actually persist scopes. We manage lifetimes of tokens. We do a lot of handling there to ensure that your SDK life is very easy, and that your agent stays online and it's available and it's secure. We've been testing this flow really extensively, but you can kind of get a picture of what is going on under the hood. And we'll talk more about Token Vault in the shop. It'll make a lot more sense when we get in there. I do want to kind of highlight a few flows though, where, you know, I mentioned refresh token and access token. As we are digesting each of the agentic frameworks, you can kind of see that, well, it may differ if you're using a single page app, right? And you don't have a back end, which is as secure, or you're wanting to access an external API. In these cases, especially like with LangGraph, we use an access token, a short-lived access token. That's simply because LangGraph stands up an external API. There's a LangGraph protocol around the LangGraph CLI. So yeah, in this case, like we kind of model that flow. Whereas like other flows, you may just have a native app or a simple Next.js regular web app, traditional web app with your agent running embedded. In this case, like a refresh token may fit your use case perfectly fine. And then I think as we're going to talk later, there's also cases where, maybe you have an asynchronous agent accessing other data. We have a new mechanism now called a custom API client, which can allow an MCP server, for example, to access remote data. So that's kind of the conceptually what we've done at Osseo. We've just taken an agent, we've kind of modeled it as a client, and we've taken your APIs and kind of modeled them as traditional OAuth resource servers or APIs in our platform. That's a little about what's going on here. I've kind of listed some details about token exchange on the slide. Just know that the subject token type is kind of the type of exchange, whether access or refresh. The subject token is your token. The user token being exchanged for the third party token. This is a really quick GIF of our interrupt flow with LangGraph. Recently wrote this, so it just shows kind of, what the mechanism looks like. If the prompt says, I need access to my calendar, we have a Google social provider, we have an interrupt, as part of our SDK, it will feed you back the mention that you need to request additional scopes. We then do the token exchange from Token Vault, get you a new access token, and then you can access your upstream provider. Really quite simple in our framework now. And quickly about MCP, and then we'll dive into the workshop. MCP is very new for us. We just launched a preview, but we've been avidly working on this for quite some time. But yeah, you can kind of see where we've modeled the MCP server also as a client. And yes, there are cases where agent is a client talking to MCP server, which is also a client talking to upstream APIs. So, and that's actually what we're going to show today. but yes, the flow is quite similar, and we'll talk more about MCP semantics and you know, how we've implemented dynamic client registration and kind of what we have here. These are totally from our teammates, so just trying to pick our favorite slides. And as far as the workshop, I think we're planning to just kind of high level, high note each section. If you don't want to work through it, that's okay. You can follow along. If you want to work through it and you're more hands-on, that's fine too. And yeah, we really, truly appreciate all your feedback. We do have time at the end for questions and all kinds of feedback, so we would love that. And yeah, this is what we are building today. Basically, we are building an agent Next.js app. What's nice about Vercel's platform, right, is we can build MCP tools alongside our agent in the same infrastructure quickly. We can then use the agent client to communicate with the MCP server and then leverage the MCP server to talk to third parties. So that's really powerful, and you know, it's secure and it's easy to build. You know, we feel quite good about several areas of the security stack there. But yeah, I think this is kind of the rough idea of like a lot of typical flows you might see, you know, in the industry. Yeah, so I'm gonna, yeah, so if we can pull it up and get going. So let's see. Yeah, hopefully everybody is able to capture the link. And all right, so yeah.
Yeah, while Patrick is showing and kind of doing the workshop, I'll be available for anyone has a question or a problem with the short workshop itself. Just raise a hand, I will approach you.
Awesome. Yeah, and I'll do like a quick intro, then kind of showcase what it does, and we'll kind of step through this journey of building that topology. So yeah, the welcome is really just around getting your dependencies and getting a client. So I guess the first step here, we have a root tenant, an upstream IDP for you. So this is kind of a little more of an enterprise use case. So let's say you have a core IDP provider that you know you tap into for like upstream API management or upstream identity. So we have this like fictitious stock trade application, which looks like this. And this application, basically the idea is that you know consumers can come here, they can access a stock API, they can establish identity here, but this application also exposes a stock an API for downstream consumers and downstream agent clients and additional consumers. So we have a linked access with our OIDC connection to this tenant. So the first part is really just getting your client. I already have a client, but where you would start here is basically just going through Auth0's stack and getting a tenant and starting to get your client developer keys. So we'll add Auth as a subsequent step, but I'll show the first step where we just have a really simple agent, and then we're adding on identity and then authorization. So yeah, these are some prerequisites: Node, PNPM, standard toys, Auth0 CLI. So we use the CLI for a lot of CLI management of our stack. It makes some things easier. We use a combination of Terraform and CLIs in this demo. Yeah, so that's kind of the conceptual overview and some of the like major dependencies. After you've created your client and kind of signed up here, we've got a link to it here. You should be ready to go for spinning up your tenant. But yeah, I'll talk more about that in step two. So yeah, let's start with the very beginnings here. So we're building our downstream chatbot. This is a downstream application that we're just spinning up, hasn't connected to anything yet, and we're adding on this upstream provider and adding on access with agents and with tools. I used OpenAI with my agent, but yeah, you'll need an OpenAPI access key. This is the repo, which has the base template. I'll give you a branch at the end, which has all of the changes we make in this workshop. So let's take a look at what that looks like. Go for it, guys.
Yes, standard chat box. So at this point, when you start, if you try to do anything other than just regular Gen AI questions, you will get just the model, nothing else. But the important part is if we try to ask the model who I am,
yeah.
That's when the model says, okay, I don't know who you are. I don't know which day is, so I know nothing. The same for, in this case, this is a downstream of a trade app. If we try to consume data from that trading service, like again, the chatbot will tell you, I know nothing. So let's fix that. Let's give the chatbot awareness first of the service and tools, and then also, yeah, authentication. So let's authenticate and let the agent know who I am.
Okay. So that's okay. Yeah, keep going. I'll apply.
So, I will try to sync with Patrick here.
Yeah.
This is pretty standard. I think you saw this in several workshops already just today, and imagine several times in the last weeks. But yeah, we are in the Vercel AI SDKs. We will introduce the get stock price tool.
Yeah.
And later the authentication part.
Yes.
So let's go for the simple thing. In this case, Patrick is cheating because he has all everything mustache. It wouldn't be that easy for you guys, but.
Rest assured that
let's run it again.
It's going to say rest assured all of the code that's here is in the stash, so
yeah,
you don't have to worry about that.
Let's go back to the chat box and let's ask again about prices.
If you guys want us to try to follow along, you're going to do an overview and we'll do it.
Okay.
Like, am I supposed to try and keep up with what you're doing?
Yeah, that's hard, right?
Yeah.
let's complete everything, right?
And yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Good call. You can tell it's the first time we run this session. All right. So let's make an actual, or let's start with trading questions, or at least get info questions about it. Okay, cool. So now we've got the chatbox and the agent connected to the upstream API.
Yeah, exactly.
In this case, it's a public service. It's a public endpoint, so no authentication authorization was required.
Right.
Let's try. So let's move along.
Okay.
There are more info in that page, but
oh, sorry.
Yeah, no, 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 it's okay. I was going to say that. Let's go back to the kind of important stuff.
Okay.
All right. What happens if we want to read not public data from the upstream service, but personalized data? So data that I, as a resource owner, own. In this case, we are going to use token vault. So basically, when we logged in, can you go back to the chat box?
Yeah.
So far, we didn't go through any logging process. So there is no who I am or anything like that. So it's just anonymous session so far. But at some point, we will log in. We will log in the agent IDP,
yep.
Right? But that will give us a trust relationship between us and the agent alone. We need to go beyond that. We need to establish a relationship also. It's kind of a three-way thing. It's us, it's the upstream service, and the agent. So we need to establish this triangle relationship, right? We will do that through token vault. We will first authenticate the agent. That, in exchange, will issue an ID token and an access token. An access token that basically authorizes us to use the agent alone. But we can, with Token Vault, we can use, once we establish the third relationship, we can use that access token to exchange it by an upstream access token.
Yeah.
And that's what Token Vault does. What it does is once we connect our upstream app, in this case the demo trade app, Alt0 will start storing the refresh token and dealing with the issuance of the access tokens. So we store the refresh token, we store the access token for as long as until it expires. And every time the agent needs to access this data, it runs the refresh token grant to obtain a new access token. And that is issued back to the agent. So can you, so that's more or less the graph.
It's also going to show just adding the basic auth for your user and built, and then adding on these token vault requests. The SDK code here kind of walks you through like the sign up, the Terraform, all of the tenant setup, so that you can start to use these services, right? So that you can access token vault, so you can start using identity with providers. This is a very new feature set with some of these features. So you'll notice, like in some of our configuration, you're enabling a connected accounts feature with our new My Account API. You're setting up grant types for your client application, your agent application. And you're configuring your OIDC connection. I don't know if we want to. Let's keep moving, and then we can kind of show the tenant. But these are kind of the steps we can apply to just add a basic identity. And I'll turn to you while I'm doing that.
Yeah, TLDR, all the steps are there. References, links, and everything you need. In case you want this, to want to do this later or at home. All right, so
I'm gonna try. So it'd be
so at two. This point, what we're gonna do is bring the login button to the agent, basically.
Yeah. So just kind of show what that looks like.
Yeah. So
route.
Yeah. So we use Alt0 SDK for Next.js. That provides a middleware.
Yep. The right one. Hang on a second.
And a wrapper for a route. You would see.
Sorry, one second.
Yep.
I think it's that. Oh, it's complaining. Sorry. Conflicts. There we go. Okay, there we go.
There we go. Yeah, a huge change. It's intimidating, but it's because it's dealing with the connected account. I think we are in the process of simplifying that in the SDK way more.
What is this one?
So this is the Next.js route for the chat.
Yeah. So we've taken the page that has the chat client. So that's it's just your standard Next.js page, and this is our wrapper, which then basically forces login or gives you a redirect.
Yes.
And I'm trying to add authentication to this agent.
Yes.
Okay. Where does this fit in?
This is an embedded agent within the Next app. So yes, this chatbot is an embedded agent, and we'll show other external agents.
What I'm trying to do is, I have the existing deployment.
Yep.
What additional components you're sharing with me right now?
Yes.
To my existing deployment.
Yeah.
And what's out of the box?
Yeah, so it's really these wrappers from the SDK, which wrap an endpoint, whether it's a page route or something else. And then this is pretty standard with like our Next.js SDK now. We established a session. I'll show login, but there's really not a lot of magic here. We are, however, requesting this new connected accounts to see if you have a federated connection. So that's kind of the confusing part here, because the old school Auth0 flows would not have that. We wouldn't be requesting upstream providers in many cases or other APIs. But in this case, yes, we are using a federated provider. And it's a little more contrived, I guess. We're creating a client. There you can kind of see the OIDC options we're providing, which are specific for OIDC, and then this Connect Account endpoint is new. That's going to enable our new Connected Accounts API for managing all of your accounts. I think that's So let me show that and kind of go for it. Yeah.
Okay. So that was code. I think, all right, okay, let's try it again.
Yeah, run it again.
No, it didn't.
it's
right.
There.
Awesome.
So I'm gonna sign out and sign in.
Yeah. So we sign out. So at this point, it's actually you want to place a login button or whatever login UX suits best with you. In this case, just to simplify, if you try to access the URL, it will just prompt you with the login screen right away. So we log in now. At this point, we are, it doesn't show, but we are logging to the upstream IDP.
Yes.
So using just one credentials. And then, at least now, it knows that I've got a session. And who I am.
Let's see.
Awesome. So it got the profile from the IDP. It loaded that to the context.
Yeah.
So now it knows who I am.
Yeah, and in this fictitious application, this is also the same identity that's linked with the stock trader. This dashboard. So your identities are now linked between, these applications. You're using an upstream provider, and you'll also see shortly that they'll be linked with your MCP tools as well. So we've got identity we've got login, we've got an embedded agent running locally. What else do we want to talk about in this step? Are we ready to go on?
Okay, so it knows who I am. But it doesn't know what I own. It doesn't have access to the trading service resources that I own. So if you go back to the demonstrated app, one sec.
This one?
Yes. So my balance is 10K. I've got these recent orders. So on and so forth. So how can we give the agent access to all this data?
So
the first step is, as we said earlier, we need to connect the two accounts. So even if we are using the same credentials, we still didn't say explicitly, or the user didn't say explicitly to the agent, hey, I know, I want you to know who I am, but I didn't give you permissions to access my account yet. So that's the step you are doing. We are connected the accounts. That's when we prompt the user with these extra permissions that the agent needs, these extra scopes, right? And that's when the relationship is established. So now the agent knows that I have access to this account with that exact permissions. Nothing more, nothing less.
Yeah. Yep. So next, I think it's just adding some tools which can now leverage this account. So I'm going to jump into portfolio tools. And this is getting into that token exchange. And now we can start to ask more pertinent queries, right? We can say, can you view my portfolio? We're not going to give you access yet to create orders. That'll be the next pieces. This kind of shows how our SDK kind of models getting an access token for another connection upstream, how to leverage shared tools in TypeScript. I think what's really nice here is that these tools can be versatile. They can be shared between whether it's an agent tool or an MCP tool. Hopefully your framework has TypeScript support. That's also a really nice capability and tool organization. If you want to keep going, I'm going to add the tools.
Awesome. So the same as the same, the first step we did, we are going to load give the agent a new tool. So far, local tools, we will get into the MCP part, it is a native tool that it does a simple HTTP request to the service. But the tool will have a... So one of the other things that we provide in our SDKs is how we connect this tool with the authorization part and the authentication part.
Here's the tools, basically, again.
Yeah. So can you show
each other the screen?
The tool?
Yeah, yeah.
No, the tool again, the code tool. Show the...
This one? Tools or...
No, the Get Portfolio tool?
Oh, yeah, go in.
So at some point, we create with a client and in the handler.
It's just a Git with a include history, query param optional addition there. Pretty straightforward API call once you have a client and a token. The sweet sauce is we can now leverage this Git access token for connection really easily in our SDK. Let me show that if you want to.
Yeah, it's everything is summarized in this line of code. That's what I wanted to show. So our SDK provides this. You provide the connection. In this case, that's the upstream name that is represented in your tenant. And that's what does all the dance with the token bot.
I'll say, can you show my portfolio? Oof, sorry.
So we've got an agent with access to our data now. So he knows who I am, but also has access to what I have. He has detailed access. Well, it's up to you, obviously, that the tool implementer, but at least already knows exactly what we have.
Okay,
move on.
So we have portfolio tools, which is great. I didn't show the scopes, but rest assured that, I must show the MCP server really quickly. So kind of what we've scaffolded and modeled, and this may help with some of the questions, but here's the MCP server, which we've modeled as an API, and we have scopes around accessing the MCP server. We've kind of modeled those the same way as our upstream API. So let's see, permissions. We've got scopes around reading trades, reading our portfolio. And yeah, those are referenced in those tools in the meta. That wasn't abundantly clear, but yes, we are representing those as like scoped permissions.
How do you create these permissions?
Yes.
The keyword trade and portfolio, these are very application specific.
Yes.
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 So how would it know what they are mean in the context of the application?
You want to take that one?
What do you mean?
So this app is a stock trading app. So the word trade and portfolio will have very specific meaning here.
Yes.
But I could have another app where the word trade or the word portfolio, maybe it's like a project management app, portfolio would mean something else.
Yeah. But
so how does it identify the meaning of the permission?
That's
let me take it there.
Yeah, I can. So yes, I think I understand, but at the end of the day, it's the upstream service that sets the rules, right?
Okay.
So if you want to access my resources, I need an access token with this scope. Otherwise, I will reject your request.
Okay.
And it doesn't matter if you're an agent or even just a traditional REST API client. And that you, as an implementer of the agent, you know that in advance. You know, if you are connected to an upstream, you know what's the shape of the request and what's the authorization layer that I need to implement. You can model your scopes as you want in your local tenant, but at the end of the day, the translation, the scopes to the upstream should be done. So you can tell.
Where do I do that?
It's in the connection.
Yeah.
So when you define the connection.
Yeah. Yeah, so that the enterprise connection here to our upstream is here, and yeah, you can kind of see we're requesting those scopes from the upstream tenant, and it also in this case like has those scopes modeled around the stock API. So
exactly,
yeah.
So these scopes are getting from the service.
Yes.
Exactly.
So these scopes are
exactly
most likely publicly available, or it's something that is part of the contract between you and the upstream. And that's exactly what the user will going to see on the prompt that you saw in the moment that they connect the account.
Exactly.
So we are here to simplify. We use the same names, but it could be different. It could be different scopes. The translation happens on Tokenbolt.
Yeah. Yeah. And I should also worth mentioning, like, we model roles differently, right? Like around, you know, personas or other identities. Scopes are really around API access, right? So if you're looking to kind of model more around a role, definitely check out FGA. We have role-based access controls, which you can apply around tools as well or around pages. But this is more just, you know, fine-grained access around an API. So, all right, let's keep going.
And this is new?
Yes.
Yeah, a lot of this is very new.
Connections, it's been around for forever,
no.
But the purpose, and actually that's the name we chose, the purpose of a connection, we create a new one, which is Tokenbolt.
All right, we're still doing pretty good on time, but yeah, it's okay, ready to jump into MCP. So.
Yes, any questions so far? We can kind of switching topics here.
I wanted to ask similar to your question, the scopes you get publicly available, you get them from the well-known OIDs like at hard.
So yes.
A common way to get these scopes,
yes.
Right? Publicly fetch them. And then
yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Exactly. So yeah, that's you've jumped right into the next flow, and so we are trying to implement the current spec with MCP now, and that's kind of the next part of this exercise is adding the well-known protected resource metadata endpoint, we've been testing this with a lot of providers recently, and recently we just EA'd our DCR feature like this week. So, that this flow is a little more involved, right? Because the MCP server becomes, a client of the agent, and we're going to show kind of how we modeled that in the Vercel code, and you can see like. You know, all of the steps, there's, you know, obviously more involved, but it's, you know, it's important because we're actually securing MCP resources and tools and kind of doing it in a granular way, but also enabling dynamic registration with many providers. So yeah, we'll showcase that towards the end here. Yeah, I can probably fire this up if you want. I'm gonna see if there's, so this kind of show, maybe I'll talk through a little bit of this. This kind of shows some of the middleware and how we apply like scope verification on the MCP server itself and how we expose metadata. So yeah, that's exactly what you're alluding to, is like we advertise the supported scopes when you go to register in that part of the flow. And then further down, I think it's in the transport when we actually construct. This is just more helpers. So it's like, you know, creating middleware to verify a JWT. We're still, you know, still a bearer token, public private key encryption. We reference those libraries. We have a lot of shared libraries for doing these things now. Another important mention here is this is where we introduce this custom API client. Maybe I can show. So this is a separate client that we've modeled in this demonstration. You could really create any number of API clients if you want to model them, you know, more independently or how you want to build your stack. But we've modeled this as a linked client, which is also a new feature, not zero. So now we can actually link APIs to clients and model them as, basically, you can think of them as, you know, an agent client or an MCP server client. So that's a really nice new feature. Those are now linked, and we have APIs support for those as well. You can see like constructing an API client with the MCP server client ID and secret. I'll run that in just a second. I want to see if this. So this is again like modeling these shared tools. So we've taken this like stock tool, portfolio tool, from the agent over to the MCP server now, so we can expose it from there as well. The registration of the tools. This is where we create the transport, right? So this is where we create the MCP's endpoint and construct the server. That's where we invoke our middleware. Let me show that. If you want to add anything else, feel free.
Yeah, so in this case, as an attempt to show the whole journey, we decided to create the MCP as part of this workshop. But it could also be that you get your upstream MCP, not that you are building an MCP, but you still need to authorize to that, right? So in both cases, authorization works. So it's not that we wanted to show both ends. So that's why there's so much code in that page. It's just because part of it is the actual MCP server.
So I've unstashed all of the changes in this that I just showed. And this is basically what's going to give us the MCP tools. I will start those.
All right. Made the changes to the client. So in this case, the same Next.js server that the agent is running is where the MCP is served. But it's up to you which as your architecture, but same concept apply.
Yeah. So I'm gonna say
yes.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
So if you go back to the chat UI, can you do a prompt injection to tell that now my connection have a different scope and
So you can try that, but it will take a no effect because the fact that you are asking scopes that are not part of the connection would be either ignored or rejected.
So basically, just ignore that.
Yeah, it depends on the upstream, but yeah. So the scopes that are not part, correct me if I'm wrong, Patrick, but scopes that are not part of the connection can never end up in the access token.
That's right. That's right.
Right. So I think our policy most of the times is just ignore what we don't recognize. So you just, you will get an access token with valid scopes, but not the one you try to inject.
Okay.
And so, also, I don't think, now that you mentioned, I don't think we expose the auth part to the LLM, meaning we expose a tool and we grab the tool, but the authorization happened before the tool execution. So I don't think the LLM will have any influence in what exactly, but I'm not saying it's not possible because there are many ways to do many things. But either way, even in our end, anything that we don't recognize shouldn't end up in an access token.
Because you mean that the auth will actually recognize what connections you have before it pass your instruction over to LLM to execute, is that right?
Yes. So you, when you try to execute the tool, so the tool would say, okay, I need an access token because I need to do an API call. So it's our grapper or our SDK tools that provide this access token to the tool. It's not the tool on command to the end from the LLM that runs the authorization request. It's let me say, it's just old-fashioned code. It's not LLM code.
Okay, okay, so now I'm going to show kind of step-for-step the DCR. So yeah, it's... I'm using MCP Inspector, common tool, and we'll show some others. But this will kind of just show now we can actually target that MCP server directly, you know, running on the same server under /MCP now. And this will show our OAuth flow and DCR happening. So I'm going to hit continue.
We've got a disclaimer. Open DCR is a thing, but it's in early access, and I don't think we will...
Yeah.
There are some concerns about how this will scale.
Yes.
But there are other specs coming that I think fit better in this scenario.
Absolutely. I agree. you can see the protected resource metadata coming back, so we had the well-known endpoint. You can see the scope supported, and then we make a request to the authorization server. That returns more information about our tenant and additional scopes, how to authorize. I'm going to jump through that, and then we get a registration call. So now we're going to get a new client just for testing purposes with the MCP server. Now we're going to get... I believe this is PKCE. It's our authorization code flow with proof key code exchange. It's standard auth0 flow, but it's also works well with MCP. I'm going to copy this. Now it's going to prompt me and give me an authorization code. And at the end of the line here, we should get an access token, which is great. So now we can access the MCP server with these scopes from anywhere, right? That's the great thing. So now I'm going to hit connect, and let's see if we can get some tools. So now we have access to our portfolio and our identity tools, kind of accessing the same upstream stock API. You want to add anything here, Carlos, before we go a little further?
No, any question?
I'll ask at the end.
Sure. All right.
This is really the most involved part of this flow. I'm going to show the Claude So I've actually deployed it if you want to play around. That's really the most involved part with MCP, rather. I think we're hitting time, so let's go into the async auth. That's all right.
All right. Okay.
Go for it.
Do you mind still driving the coding so I can
absolutely
talk over? All right. So we said that earlier. The fact that the agent has access to our resources, it doesn't mean that it should do anything in any time without my supervision, right? I said this all the time. We don't want an hallucinating agent buying a stock in the middle of the night without my permission.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah. So that's where part of our the bundle is provide a simple way and a seamless way to the agent to reach out the user and get their approval for risky operation. In this case, we consider place an order, either buy or sell, a risky operation. It's something that we as the developers of the agent define. It's up to us. So in this case, what we are going to do is we'll bring the create order tool, but with some conditions.
Yes. Exactly.
So those conditions will be that before running the create order tool, we will call back channel auth. That's the SDK name for the auth async auth.
Yeah.
We will obtain an access token that contains exactly what the user is. So let me go step backward. So we will create this request to back channel with the details of the transaction. In this case, it will be exactly the symbol I'm buying or selling, quantity, and the price. For the user to see that in their screen, most likely an out-of-band device, see that and approve that. And only when that is approved, we will place the order.
Yeah. Yes.
For that, in this case, in this sample, we will use Guardian. It's our MFA application. It's out-of-the-box application you can use, you can install and use. But also we support Guardian SDK in case you want to implement your own.
Yeah. I'll share the user.
Yeah. So for the agent to be able to reach out the user, for this channel in particular, the user needs to be enrolled on MFA.
Yeah.
There are several mechanisms to do that. Just for the workshop, we show you kind of the backdoor of it.
Yeah.
But it depends on the UX, how you... It could be in sign-up. It could be like a step-up kind of thing. I don't know. It's up to you. But we need to enroll. So you will find... Yes, yeah. It's in the docs, but you will find a way to send an email that contains all these instructions to enroll.
Yeah.
So once we enroll, we can add this little helper here that just basically forwards the auth to our SDK.
All right, let me undo and reapply here.
Yeah. Am I going faster than you?
No, it's perfect. Yeah, it's perfect.
Sorry.
Catching up.
All right.
One sec.
Okay. So in a second, I will show you exactly what we are going to send in this authorization. So we can see.
So I think it was in auth0, we add the.
Yeah, so here is the. This is the helper. It's just a wrapper just for to wrap the errors and all that kind of stuff. But basically, it's again this line of code in our SDK is what we send and what will run all these steps. Internally,
show the tool.
It will keep. It will wait for the user response. So it's basically an async operation. And when the user responds, the agent can resume.
Oh, sorry, it's in tools. Sorry.
Yeah,
this one.
Tools.
This one. So, yeah. So here we're creating a new client with, we're specifying like what we need in the authorization details, so we can provide that rich authorization request detail when the authorization request comes in. We're using this custom API client in this case that we've already created. You could create others, but yes, we're creating a custom API client to then perform the back channel request. In this case, it waits. You could do a number of things. You could pull, there's other mechanisms here, but yes, in this case, for simplicity's sake, we wait for the verification. So let me give this a go.
All right.
Yeah.
So we run the client again. The chatbox agent.
We'll go back to here.
All right.
And
so now we can ask to, I don't know, place an order.
What is it, Wayne?
Wayne, yeah, for example.
Fictitious stocks.
Yeah, so in this case, yeah, go ahead.
I have just a question about the code. I don't know if all this code is checked in. I'm not sure. Do you have branches?
Yes. I'm happy to share that towards the. Do you want me to share it now or?
Later.
Okay. Yes, we do have a final state branch. Yes.
In this case, the agent is instructed to inform the user that this is going to happen. So this is not yet the authorization request. It's just heads up that, hey, you're going to receive a push notification. Is OK? It's just a really silly system prompt line. You proceed, then.
Yeah, waiting. Hang on. One minute here. Should be connected. Let's see. Give you one a minute.
Demo effect. You run this like dozens of times?
Turn that off.
Oh, because you're hot at it.
And let's see. Let me try again. Let's see.
Yeah, refresh and try again.
Refresh.
Apart from push notifications, we also support email as an add-on, though. And more channels, we will be implementing more channels to reach other user.
Yeah, maybe I need to restart the application server.
Because if I have multiple views, then I just pre-authorize certain users?
In your agent, like, yes. Yeah, I guess it's up to you how you manage this session with your agent.
I want to make sure no one else can engage.
With the same agent, you mean?
Yeah. Or like, can I be able to pre-authorize the agent for certain access, but also for pre-authorize who can use the agent for access to the agent? Just trying to understand what are the different use cases around that.
This is kind of up to you how you manage your sessions and permissions to access the app as a resource.
Okay.
But once you establish that, it's yes, you can establish any policy that you want at the end. I don't know if I'm following the question. we can chat later, but
I approved it, so yeah, I had to reconnect here on this network. So
okay,
let me try one more time. It did come in.
In this example for this agent, it's saying, the agent is asking if it's allowed to go to that website. So I just want to make sure that the agent is filled to go to that website, but no other websites. That's what I meant about pre-authentication authorization.
But when you say website, you say the service?
For certain APIs or certain tools. Just trying to see what if anything can be done as they improve it. Because right now the authentication is happening as interactive.
Yes.
So I'm just saying, can it be not
interactive? I see. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So
email.
This is how I see.
I'm not an access management person.
No, no, I understand. I understand now. So, yeah, I had similar concerns. I'm not in product, sorry. But so imagine that your interface is not a chatbox. It's like a task runner kind of thing.
Exactly.
So I guess what I would implement as an engineer is I would attach my identity or at least an identifier of the user, the subject, to that task in my database. So I enter the agent, I set up a task and I say, okay, I want to, I don't know, find me a good deal or advise me or buy Wayne stocks when it's below 70.
Yeah.
It could be a task, right? I think that task is modeled in your system, right? It has to be modeled somehow. I don't know if it's prompt, an ID of the user, and that thing, that's when you establish that. So, and we use the user, that is the subject, is what we use to identify if the user has a connection to that account. You know, so
yeah.
I need this account, this user, to have this connected. This
I understand.
Right, and then I will only...
Can I create a sensitive identity for the agent? Because I want to differentiate if the connection is coming from an agent or coming from the user.
But that's the thing. You are, in our auth, even it's an agent performing the request to the
so
service, is in
yes.
my behalf. So what I need...
I want to differentiate though. Because if an agent goes rogue, I want to know
yes.
if the agent goes rogue, right? So I want
to
know.
Yeah, you can
you
do.
You know what I mean?
Yes. So in that case, because the agent is the client, your access token will have an authorizing party. That's a claim that identify not the user, but who the user is delegating the access to. And that's where you can say, okay, this is my ID as an agent, this is my subject, so I can know exactly, okay, this agent is acting on behalf of this user.
Okay.
And you can run any policy on that you need.
Yeah.
That's
absolutely.
OAuth. That's nothing new. It's,
yeah,
it's been around forever.
Yeah.
No, but now I understand.
Yes.
Also,
I wanted to show kind of logs and also just we did show the exchange in the last example for accessing the portfolio, but this is the actual async auth SIBA exchange, which is slightly different in our logs, but I think it also kind of ties it together really well. And it shows, you know, I'm going to show like what an actual token payloaded looks like. Again, fictitious, and these tokens are not going to give you much.
So this is the details I was talking about. We use an extension of OAuth. It's reach authorization request. It's in a specification. And basically, we can describe exactly what the user is giving consent to.
Yeah.
And that gets record in the access token. In a real scenario, most likely the resource server will want to verify that.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's up to the stack. That's out of our. But yeah,
notification too. It looks like. So yeah, that's what it looked like on my phone actually when I actually connected it to the network and I got a slew of notifications.
One of the challenges with reach authorization request is that the object is freeform. You can put anything you want, and that complicates things in terms of rendering that request. To solve that, we created a schema. So we support an own schema. It's flexible enough to give you any opportunity to display anything, but it's known and it helps for our app in our case, but also in your apps if you are developing yours, to render this dynamically. So our Guardian app is able to render any details. We provide this schema for you.
Cool. We good?
Right.
Awesome. So that's a little bit about our new asynchronous authorization features. Last piece, and then kind of open up more for discussion. And yeah, I know we'll have a little bit of time, but I just want to quickly show and kind of preface with like some of the integrations which we are testing. This is very beta and shipped very recently, but this is using that DCR flow. I'm kind of showing how we did it with the inspector, but also with Cloud Code or with the Open API app SDK. So this just kind of, I'm not going to do this now, we're short on time, but obviously like we can deploy this to Vercel. I'm using an Upstash database, Redis database for handling the state on the MCP server side. You can get running pretty quickly on Vercel. So you can take this agent and this MCP server and start sharing, you know, these tools, bring your tools, right, anywhere. So, so I'm going to show, I've got a deployment that I mentioned earlier. I'll target that, and I'll DCR with my deployment. Ironically, it's also linked to the same identity provider, so I'll get back my same information, which is nice. And then I'll show kind of how in Claude Code this works. I'm going to skip over Chat GPT App SDK. There is an integration that is starting to work here. There's some configurations needed, so reach out and let's talk if you need this today. but yeah, it'll be pretty much readily available in, you know, the very near future. So we do have some integrations today that we've tested. But yes, this kind of gives you a rough overview of like how you could quickly bring those tools to ChatGPT. So yeah, I'm going to gloss through that. This is just me showing like, oh yes, I've connected it in GPT and I can access my tools there. Let me go ahead and while, if you want to talk to a little bit more of that, I will show kind of getting a new client with my deployed instance and then integrating it in Claude Code.
This is just to showcase that the client, the MCP client, should also run the same policies, auth policies that, so all clients should run the same. So should identify, authenticate me, and the authorization, the same authorization policy should happen. So in this case, we embedded the MCP as part of the server, but, in this case, Patrick deployed that for us.
Disconnect.
Same thing we did before. In this case, this is a production ish.
Yeah, exactly.
Same. As you can see, it's asking for my authentication.
Okay.
And it got an access token, with the scopes that we requested.
All right, so now we're going to pull up Claude.
And we can just jump into Cloud Code, give it the MCP.
So, yep. I got a command in the README here that's in the final.
All right.
So, I need to replace the token. I'll save. So in this case, I am going to use my inspector's token, and Claude does support authentication. However, there is an open issue right now about specifying scopes. I'm just going to use my inspector's access token. You'll see that with Claude, and then Claude will still initiate. So let me show that.
Unfortunately, the spec is pretty new, and not all the clients implemented the same way. I expect that to stabilize eventually.
There's no like copy in this tool, is there?
No.
Okay. Once again, my token is not going to do you much. These are fictitious trades.
All right.
Okay.
So yeah, same thing as before. We can start asking about what we got in the absent surveys.
Happened.
Is it disconnected?
Is it connected? Okay. Oh, okay. So, sometimes I have to restart it. I don't know why. Okay, now let's see. No. Huh. Yeah. Let me try once more here. That did not work.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it. Okay. Claude add. Yeah, it looked like it was there. Let's see. Yeah.
In the meantime, more questions?
Yeah.
You had a question before?
Yeah.
I think I get the purview when you're an Auth0 customer, maybe the context here is you're building an app for, let's say, your consumers or something, then maybe this whole flow will be applicable. I'm thinking, but if you're an Okta tenant, you're using Okta in your workspace, how do the two work together, or do is this thing also going to be available on the Okta side?
No, I think the idea that got me, I don't know exactly, so 100%. But what I think it is we are going to create some sort of bridge that you can apply the same policies as Okta as an employee to agents and restrict those accesses to those services as you would do with an employee. That's where is that your question, more or less?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah,
so and also how the two systems are going to work together, because this seems like a feature of Auth0, which is my understanding.
It is.
Both are owned by Okta, but Okta is a separate product.
Yeah, it is. It is a separate product. But as far as I know, we work together on both ends. We can connect later if you want. I can dig into docs. Yeah, most likely that's okay.
Not sure what I'm doing wrong here. So,
Do you need to do the?
Let's see.
This cloud command. Don't you have to run it outside the cloud session?
Maybe
in the terminal.
Oh, in the terminal. Okay. Yeah, let's try that.
Yeah. Anything else? Yeah.
So it seems like if I were deploying an agent, one way I can start is just to use the user's token on behalf of who the agent is acting as the token for the agent themselves. So what do you feel like is the advantage of a distinct agent identity? What are the features that it adds?
So when you say I can just pass, so you authenticate the user and just forward the access token to the agent somehow? Mm-hmm. Or
no.
Don't do that, please. So the access tokens are meant to, first, it will be, in terms of operability, it will be a cumbersome because access tokens will expire eventually. So at some point, you will need to reach out the user again, okay, log in and do all the dance again. So how autonomous your agent will be in that scenario. So that's kind of what we try to solve. So we establish that connection, that relationship, and we take care of this nasty, complex part of refreshing tokens, storing tokens, and all the scope step up, things like that.
Okay, so finally got it working here.
I just think some of the interactions I might make with the agent are through, say, the chat assistant. And so whenever the agent is taking action,
Not necessarily. As for example, the example we were talking about before, imagine like a task runner kind of thing. You log in, you have the identity, you have a kind of traditional dashboard where you list your connectable apps, Slack, Gmail, Google Calendar, whatever. And the user does that once, just once. So once these are connected, you give the agent client, well, not double quote, it's the agent client, access to those apps. So every time, so the user, next time they connect to the chat, that's it. You don't need to run all this thing again. It's already done. It's the relationship has been established already. So the user will open the chat again. You don't need to do all these connecting, scopes, prompts, consent, screens. That's it. That's done. Eventually, it can die. It depends on the policy of your upstream. The refresh tokens may expire. In that case, yes, you will need to deal with, you need to reload in again. You do that once, and that's it.
So just an update. Was I finally able to say syntax or my version of Claude, I guess. But was able to auth and kind of show. We went through the authenticate screen, and now I can access my same tools in a deployed instance. You can do this with several providers now, right? As Carlos was saying, like any which support DCR, static client or pre-configured clients, and then soon to be client ID metadata is the next spec, I believe, that's going to be implemented. So yeah, you'll have a lot of options to register new clients, new agents, and access your tools. Yeah, I don't know if there's anything else to return back to.
Questions?
Okay.
I think that's it. Questions and feedback, whatever, please reach out or, yeah.
I told the resource you guys showed in your workshop, but to his question, is there a later branch?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And let me push that to his repository and let me show my final state now. Yeah, I'll pull that up and link it here.
Also, I have to say, it's awesome to live demo and build this in front of me.
For the first time.
Yeah, for the first time with a major release this week was, like, we just shipped this like 2 days ago, so. But, yeah.
All right, okay.
But yeah, the final state is in my branch here. Finish state. That should have all the applied changes, and I think I've like tweaked one of the like order history tools, but it's pretty straightforward. There's some other tools that are implemented there, but yeah, it's up to you what you want to implement there. But yeah, can I? Let's see. I don't know if I can. I can link this in the notes after and.
Yeah.
We'll make sure that you have this. I'll probably actually push it to our upstream workshop branch. So, yeah.
It's a little disclaimer, the workshop app, well, it can suffer some disruptions as we develop more things. So, yeah, take that into consideration.
Thank you.
All right.
All right.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you.